Beautiful Palua put on the pearls first, then the lovely tiara. Then she put on the panties, the white, see-through panties, pulling them slowly up over her ass, smiling contentedly at the sight of herself in the mirror. Even the man couldn't believe how see-through they were, even though he knew it had been promised for a while, and the sex store had promised these panties would affect the reputation of almost any girl that wore them, because they were so aggressively revealing, and they exploited a girl's bottom so explicitly, that only the most attractive girls could wear them. Panties like this marked elite girls like Palua, because very few girls could get away with wearing anything like this, without looking cheap. It was why they had reserved the panties for the girl who won best ass, because she had a difficult job to do, wearing such unforgiving panties. Palua seemed a little nervous about the potential difficulty of being seen wearing clothing like this, but she hardly seemed to know what she was doing. So, after she put the panties on, the man watched in amazement, as she took them down again, slowly, about halfway off her ass. She was arranging them carefully on her ass, and the man realized she wasn't just doing it for fun, she was planning to go out like this. For beautiful Palua, it wasn't enough to be wearing see-through panties, she had to take them down, off her bottom, so men could see her bottom partially nude. Palua had already revealed that she found it perfectly natural taking her clothes off for the magazine and appearing nude, and she had no regrets about doing it, that she had really enjoyed it, but this was even more extreme, even though there were no photos to commemorate it, because men were going to be looking at her ass and her breasts in the flesh, and she was overjoyed with excitement. She seemed to need hundreds of men desiring her, in order to take one lover to bed, in order to allow herself to throw her thighs open for just one man. The man was encouraged by these signs of sexual openness and willingness, and even though he had seen Palua with her suitor, something in his mind made him think she was doing it for him, that a meaningful connection was being established between him and her, between his penis and this busty, 18-year-old D-cup sex blossom. After she finished arranging her panties, she thought better of it, and took them up again, but then she started doing it again, and it was clear she was struggling with her chastity, and then she took them up again, but then, finally, with a look of determination on her face, she took them down, halfway off her buttocks, and even a little more, carefully arranging them, debating with herself all along the hem of her panties, whether to push down a little or pull up a little, as if every little bit mattered to her, one way or the other, as if men would notice, once they were partway down. To any man, it only mattered whether they were all up, all down, or partway down, and while all down was good, partway down was possibly even better, as a sign of hypocrisy, like she wanted to preserve something, like she was keeping a little part of her promise with herself, and letting every other pleasure come her way, like she really wanted them all off, but just wasn't quite ready for it yet, like she was getting ready, and she wanted it to happen soon, but in the right way, for her as an 18-year-old, as a teenage D-cup, so she could wait, and then feel some pleasure. As he watched her doing this, he suddenly noticed something that had escaped his attention. Palua's clothing was on the ground, and she had totally ignored it, and it was accessible under the gap in the cubicle wall. At that moment, he realized the only part of this body he could feel was his penis, and it was sending intense messages of pleasure and desire for Palua. This 18-year-old D-cup had been working on him with her lovely fruits, her lovely, young breasts, and her lovely bottom, her lovely, sensual bottom, but now she was really revealing it, really wanting to use it, and the realization of what was happening to her, and just how extreme it was for a girl who had taken private chastity lessons to do these things, made his penis dominate completely, so that all of his thoughts and his feelings were in his penis, and he was unaware of anything else, but the look of her beauty, the sex's thoughts in his mind, and the feeling in his penis. He realized if he just took her clothing, he would have Palua's last connection to her chastity, and it would be like she was falling, falling, possibly into his arms, and he would have a chance for a private night of sex with her, a chance to really get intimate with this girl, to be intimate with a D-cup girl for the first time, to touch solid, D-cup tits for the first time, and a chance to have bottom sex for the first time. He told himself it was wrong, and put it out of his mind, but he started entertaining the thought of taking her clothing, not to put any real pressure on her, but just to see what wonderful things might happen between them. He forced himself to admit that it was the same thought in disguise, and he knew it was wrong, and knew how big the risks were. But then he saw her breasts wobble, and he remembered the sex store telling everyone there was a difference between knowing something was wrong and feeling bad about it, and before he even understood what had happened, he had taken her clothing, carefully, and now that he had it, he told himself it was too late to give it back, and telling himself not to take the clothing was very different from having to tell himself to give her clothing back, and all of those sweet things, if they happened, would still be her decision. He looked at her, holding the clothing, and then he carefully stored it in the locker in his cubicle, entered a combination, and returned to looking at her lovely breasts and her lovely ass. Now, surely it was much too late to turn back, and the voice in his head that told him not to take her clothing couldn't possibly require him to actually get it out of the locker, now that it was very safely stored, because if he wanted to, he could give it back to her any time, and it was safe there, and he told himself there was really no need, really no reason to give her clothing back, that it was maybe even inappropriate now that he had taken it, now that he had actually overcome that first voice, that voice of doubt, without even meaning to. He had listened to that voice, he had done the right thing by agreeing with it, but he had taken her clothing anyway, even while he had exactly the right thing in his head, and he felt good about giving himself the right answer, and he felt it was simply better to accept what had happened, now that it had happened, and to just honestly ask himself what would happen if he gave it back, and how he would regret it later, if he gave it back too soon, and he promised himself honestly, promised himself in the calmest frame of mind, that he would only give her clothing back if he knew he wasn't going to regret it, only give it back, if he had considered it from all angles, because anyone would tell him, anyone would agree with him, that it was so much different having to give clothing back, than just avoiding taking the beautiful girl's clothing in the first place, and no one would tell him that just because it was wrong in the first place, it was not essential to undo something now that it had happened. Safe in the knowledge that he had settled the pain in his head, clear in the understanding that it would give him too much of a headache to have to give her clothing back just now, he eyed her through his peephole, gleefully enjoying the sweet thoughts that were now filling his head. It was a long while before Palua realized her clothing was gone, and she was chatting with her friend in the next cubicle, about dance steps that might allow her bottom to accidentally touch her suitor's penis. It was clear that she wanted it, even though she was telling her friend that it was really because she wanted to carefully avoid those dance steps. He couldn't quite believe how blunt and obvious her hypocrisy was, and even her friend told her off, but Palua got very demanding and upset, and accused her friend of judging her and not supporting her, even though they had done put together in the missionary's backyard and shared something so personal, and how could her friend betray her? But the truth was, Palua didn't really want to know how obvious it was, and she really didn't care deep down, she just wanted her friend to help her in her denial, and by referring to the secret they shared about pooing, she forced her friend to help her, she used something no girlfriend could reject, and her friend suggested dance steps, and Palua laughed delightedly and excitedly at the thought. After a while, their friends knocked on the doors, and invited Palua and her D-cup friend to join them on the dance floor. It was just then that Palua finally noticed her clothing was gone, and she gasped in shock. The man had been waiting to see her reaction all this time, wondering about the sweet thoughts that were filling his penis, wondering what things might happen before he decided to give her clothing back, knowing he would have to do so eventually, because it had been wrong to take it, but knowing that was a while away, that poor Palua wasn't getting her clothing back soon, and it was better if she had no idea when she would get it back. She gasped helplessly, covering her breasts, but she didn't pull her panties up. At first she thought it was her suitor playing a trick on her, and she whispered, promising him that it was okay, telling him reassuringly that it was okay if he wanted to blackmail her, but could he please tell her it was him, promising him a wonderful night of bottom sex if he just asked, telling him that the theft of her clothing was enough to make her do it with him, telling him she wouldn't be angry, she would just do it, if he would tell her honestly what had happened, but there was no answer. He passed a twig under the gap in the cubicle wall, a small twig he had brought with him, and she gasped in shock, seeming to understand the reference to the first time he had seen her. Now, at last, those large breasts had been caught, those smashing breasts were trapped, and she was trapped like a little dove. It was only then, only in that moment, that he understood what had happened, for he had been waiting for her reaction all that time, needing to know how she would respond, secretly, quietly wondering to himself what pleasures were in store for him, whether this feeling in his penis could get any stronger, whether the attraction of his penis for her flesh, for her lovely teenage breasts and lovely teenage bottom, would find real fulfillment, and real satisfaction, and now that he had seen the look on her face, he understood how extreme this was, and how big a thing had just happened. If he had known how big it would be, perhaps he wouldn't have taken her clothing, so it was good that it was happening this way, their little adventure slowly unfolding, and now it had reached an exciting moment of joy in his penis, the anticipation of the joy of sex building in his penis, the feeling of excitement and wonder that he was almost suppressing because he was afraid to believe it was possible, nervous about believing this wonderful moment was real, nervous about expecting her to really give him something wonderful, but also nervously trying to deny what was happening, in case that voice came back, and he couldn't bear the thought of voice in his head telling him to give her clothing back, not after what had happened. He had come so far, and the look on her face, the look of dismay, told him there was no turning back. She opened her door a little way, and told him to come in. He walked over to her cubicle, trembling with excitement, and he entered her cubicle, and closed the door behind him. There, he saw the most beautiful sight he had ever seen. She was leaning against the wall, leaning forwards, her breasts hanging out beautifully, her teenage D cups hanging out and just very slightly downward, and her ass was pointing outwards, and her panties were still down. He removed her panties with both hands, letting them fall to the ground, and then he lovingly stroked her ass and her crotch, with one hand, and with his other, he moved under her armpit, as he leaned over her, placing it lovingly on her firm breasts, and she twisted her head, and he met her lips with his, and kissed lovingly, moaning as he fondled her breasts and her ass, and entered her mouth with his tongue, kissing her lovingly, the way the sex store had told him to do, the way they had told him men wanted to, when they were with a D-cup girl, enjoying the irresistible sweetness of her lips and her beauty, playing with her beautiful hair and pulling it over her lovely breasts, wondering at the good fortune that had put her clothing in his locker. She asked him about her clothes, but he told her they were safe, he had put them in a very safe place for her, and he was thinking of her by keeping them safe. He had done it because she was beautiful and careless, but it was a good outcome, it was better than her losing her clothes, better for her to know they were in a safe place, and know who had them, and he told her to trust they wouldn't go anywhere, he wouldn't put them anywhere else, until it was time to give them back. "When will it be time?" she asked, nervously. "Don't worry about your clothing," he told her, trying to reassure her, "I really don't want you to think about your clothing. I want you to enjoy having your lovely, young breasts caressed, caressed by someone who really wants to give you pleasure, by someone who really loves your beautiful flesh, who really wants to enjoy your bottom sensually. I want you to have pleasure, and I don't want you to think about your clothing, it's not that sort of moment, please, it's not the right time." There was a look of dismay on her face, but he made no attempt to stop, but continued caressing her breasts and her ass and kissing her, and she seemed to understand, and accept it helplessly, and take it for granted that he was going to keep touching her this way, that this terrible man, who she had shunned, had caught her in his way, and was using her body for his pleasure. She was looking at the locker in her cubicle, and it was clear that she had guessed that he had put the clothes in his locker. He told her not to worry, that the combination was his secret, and there was no way she would get them back, no way he would let her clothes go, and no way the sex store would get in the way, and force him to give them back, because they considered it a private matter, and they had promised not to stop girls from being nude anyway, that it was against their entire philosophy, because they had supported this dress code from the beginning, and had never supported the chastity clothes anyway, and she had come here, and signed a form agreeing to their rules, and their beliefs, and she seemed to accept that it was true, and there was nothing she could do, so she allowed him to fondle her breasts and her ass, and kiss her lovingly, and passionately on the lips, until he had satisfied his immediate hunger. He invited his lovely D-cup girl onto the dance floor with him, and she accepted. He watched her meekly putting her panties back on, but he told her he didn't want her panties covering her ass. He wanted to see how she would react to such a request, which he worded sincerely and affectionately, but he really wanted her to show she wouldn't offend him like she had before. As he watched the look on her face, and saw her obligingly comply with his sincere request, pulling her panties less than a third of the way onto her ass, he began to really hope, began to really believe that something big was going to happen, that this was really just the start, and he couldn't let the thought of lovemaking really enter his head, because it was just too much, and the thought was too wonderful, but he knew the feeling in his penis was about more than just pleasure, and he tickled her bottom affectionately and lovingly, sensuously stroking her breasts, and feeling more than pleasure, feeling anticipation as well. He didn't know whether she understood the anticipation that she was building in his penis, but she had a guilty look on her face, and her breasts were blushing a little. Her face had an angry, determined look, but she was hiding her emotions, and accepting what was happening. He couldn't believe she was doing this. All of this was just about a set of chastity clothes, which were see-through anyway, and just because of the problems of getting caught, she was willing to do this with him. They found a discreet place on the dance floor, and he continued kissing her and fondling her lovely breasts, fondling the voluptuous, mussy firm mounds of flesh, lovingly admiring her complexion and her beauty. Other people guessed what had happened, guessed that he had stolen her clothing, and her suitor was about to try and intervene, but someone stopped him, warning him that it was Palua's choice to go along with it, and it might be worse for her if he did something. The suitor looked dismayed, but went away. The man was offended at the thought that Palua might not enjoy this touching, even if she had an angry look on her face at the moment, and the feeling in his penis, of anticipation, promised him it was possible, promised him she could turn around and even if he couldn't openly hope for lovemaking, he couldn't stop himself openly hoping that the thought would sincerely enter her head, not just of opening her thighs and her sluice gates to him, but of openly welcoming him inside her bottom, openly thanking him for his loving anal intercourse. He couldn't seriously believe that he could have bottom sex with beautiful Palua, that very night, just because he had stolen her clothes, but it was all right to just fantasize about her thinking about it, to just fantasize about her letting the thought enter her head, turning it over, taking him seriously as a potential lovemaking partner. He whispered in her ear, squeezing her breasts affectionately but firmly, and he told her there were bedrooms down the hallway that were free for couples for the night, and he asked her to join him, to go with him there, for a night of lovemaking and bottom sex. She not only refused, she was offended, and she pushed him away. It took him a long while to get her back in his arms, and they had to negotiate an agreement. He had to allow her panties to stay halfway up her bottom, and not put his hands under them, but in return, she would allow him to touch her bottom all over, so long as he didn't put his hands under the panties, or attempt to move them. They argued long, and fought bitterly over the exact level of her panties, and he complained all the time, because she was trying to pull them more than halfway up, and he told her she shouldn't have them further up than she had them when she was in her change room cubicle, that it simply wasn't right, and wasn't consistent, but he couldn't have his way with everything, and her panties were a little further up than they had been, but not much.